Senator Francis Pangilinan formalizes his bid to be the running mate of Vice President Leni Robredo. Supporters of presidential daughter Sara Duterte Carpio continue to urge her to beat the COC filing deadline and go for the presidency. Veteran journalist Virgel Santos joins us for a discussion on the 2022 presidential elections and how it's shaping up. COVID-19 booster shots for Philippine health workers could come before the end of the year. And parts of southern Luzon and eastern Visayas bracing for heavy downpour due to tropical depression Mare. Hi, I'm Carmina Constantino. Dateline Philippines begins right now. Hey, thanks for joining us. And for those of you watching us on YouTube and on Facebook, glad you could join us today. The Robredo-Pangilinan tandem has officially been launched. Senator Francis Kiko Pangilinan filed his certificate of candidacy this morning to be the running mate of presidential contender Leni Robredo. Other 2022 aspirants who have lodged their COCs on the last day of filing include former Senator Antonio Trillanes, who is seeking a return to the Senate, as well as re-electionist Senator Sherwin Gatchalian and detained Senator Laila De Lima. Former Vice President and TV Patrol anchor Noli De Castro also formalized his senatorial bid. Resigned Mindanao Development Authority Chairman Manny Piñol has also filed his candidacy for senator. Vice President Leni Robredo reveals the reason for her decision to run as an independent presidential candidate. She says this is meant to open her to more political alliances, but her presidential bid is non-negotiable.
Hindi naman ako nag-resign from the Liberal Party. Pero running for independent is our symbolic way of showing na bukas kami sa pakikipag-alyansa sa maraming mga partido. Yung aming sinusulong na inclusivity, yung sinimula namin na pakikipag-usap kahit hindi bahagi ng partido, yung pagkakandidato naman para sa Pangulo ay hindi para sa partido, pero para sa nagkakaisang lakas ng sambayanan. Continuing pa yung pagbuo ng aming slate. Pero I will assure you na yung slate namin is not just composed of representatives from the Liberal Party, pero representatives from many different parties. Kaya sa amin, we will announce the slate, I guess, early next week. We will announce it early next week. Pero makikita nyo when we announce it na ito ay pagsasama-sama ng iba't ibang pinanggalingan. Kaya nandun kami ngayon. We continue to be open to discussions. Pero yung pagkandidato ay tuloy na tuloy bilang Pangulo.
Robredo also formally introduced Senator Francis Pangilinan as her running mate. The vice president says she picked Pangilinan because they share the same principles and aspirations for the country.
Totoo lang, tinawag tayo ng tungkulin. Call of duty. Hindi lang kay Ma'am Leni, hindi lang sa partido, koalisyon o sa hanay ng mga supporters, pero sagradong tungkulin sa buong bansa. Kung may pagkakataong makatulong sa mas marami, kung may pagkakataong maglingkod sa mas malawak na paraan, kung tatawagin sa mataas na pagkatungkulan, tungkulin nating tumugon, lalo na sa gitna ng pinakamatinding krisis sa kalusugan at ekonomiya ng bansa.
Pangilinan, the president of the Liberal Party, says their party has passed a resolution naming Robredo as its presidential candidate. A political analyst believes Vice President Robredo's presidential bid is off to a good start based on how the public has received her declaration to run. Professor Jean Franco from the University of the Philippines also says Senator Francis Pangilinan is a good running mate for Robredo.
Yesterday was kind of a major boost. All the doubts, all the tiptoeing and the dilly-dallying that were perceived to be a part of her being indecisive proved to be wrong. He performed very well as a senator for the longest time already. And I think he will bring vigor and enthusiasm. It will be a major boost to VP Lenny's candidacy.
Meanwhile, another analyst says there is still a chance that other presidential contenders will team up with Robredo.
We cannot discount the possibility of some candidates who, despite filing, can bend backward and say, all right, let's move together. Let's have unity. There's a long period of time between now and November 15. If you know the Pinoy psychology, sometimes we are surprised by such instant changing of mind.
Senatorial candidate Antonio Trillanes IV vows full support for the Robredo-Pangilinan tandem. See, Trillanes was supposed to be one of the leading candidates of opposition coalition Isambayan to run alongside Robredo. Trillanes describes Pangilinan as the perfect fit to the vice president.
Si Senator Kiko, being the president ng Liberal Party, medyo malawak yung network niyan. At saka meron na silang, mas mahaba yung kanilang working experience with VP Lenny. Ibigan rin naman namin personally ito si Senator Kiko, and he would make a very good vice president of our country.
For his senatorial bid, Trillanes already has a committee in mind should he land in the Magic 12.
Kung sakaling manalo, talagang kukuhanin po natin yung Blue Ribbon Committee para talagang yung mga investigasyon na hindi natapos at hindi na exhaust, ano? Yung mga iba't ibang modus ng corruption, ilalabas natin yan.
Now, as we mentioned, there are reports presidential daughter Sara Duterte Carpio could file her COC for president today. Some of her supporters have actually converged near the Sofitel tent in Pasay to urge her to run. Our correspondent Bianca Dava now joins us with that story. Bianca, go ahead.
Hi, Carmina. On the last day of filing of candidacies today, even stricter security measures are being implemented here at the vicinity of the Sofitel Philippine Plaza, the venue for the filing of COCs in the 2022 elections. Police vehicles and policemen block the roads leading to the Sofitel Hotel. During the first 6 days of the COC filing, supporters of political aspirants were allowed to converge outside the PICC. But beginning yesterday until today, supporters were no longer allowed there. But this did not stop the supporters of political candidates from converging at the Harbor Square, which is a few meters away from the PICC. Among those who are here are supporters of Davao City Mayor Sara Duterte. They are hoping that Duterte will file her candidacy for president today. The supporters brought green flags and wore green shirts. Just a while ago, we also saw two buses filled with Sara Duterte supporters enter the Harbor Square. We are also seeing here supporters of Chief of Presidential Legal Counsel Salvador Panelo, who is said to be filing his candidacy for senator today. Carmina, just now, Panelo arrived here at the CCP complex and is greeting the supporters who waited for him here. We also got the chance to talk to him very quickly, very shortly, and we asked him if Mayor Sara Duterte is indeed running or filing her candidacy for president today. And he said that he hopes that Sara Duterte will indeed run for president. Now, amid all these, there is also a man here who calls himself COVID Man, who is roaming around Harbor Square to urge supporters of political aspirants to get vaccinated. He is clad in a virus-inspired costume and reminds supporters here to observe social distancing. Carmina?
Thanks a lot. Our correspondent Bianca Dava there joining us live from Pasay. Bianca, take care and you keep safe. We're going to take a break now. Up ahead, the Philippines hoping to administer booster shots to healthcare workers before the year ends. You're watching Dateline Philippines here on ANC. Stay with us. And we're back. You're still with Dateline Philippines here on ANC. Here's another look at our headlines this noon. Senator Francis Pangilinan formalizes his bid to be the running mate of Vice President Leni Robredo. Supporters of presidential daughter Sara Duterte Carpio continue to urge her to beat the COC filing deadline and go for the presidency. COVID-19 booster shots for Philippine health workers could come before the end of the year. And parts of southern Luzon and eastern Visayas bracing for heavy downpour due to tropical depression Marie. Counting down the hours, in fact, less than 5 hours to go before the period of or for the filing of COCs comes to a close. Our correspondent Ina Reformina now joins us for an update on what is expected to be an eventful day at the Sofitel tent in Pasay City. Ina, go ahead.
Yes, Casey, the receipt of COCs and CONAs is still in full swing here at the COMELEC Filing Center in Pasay City, as we are just less than 5 hours to go before the 5 p.m. close of the 8-day period for filing of the COCs and CONA. And as you mentioned, Senator Francis Kiko Pangilinan there running for vice president, the running mate of vice president and the presidential aspirant, Leni Robredo. They came here together. Robredo accompanied Pangilinan in filing his COC. He is a nominee of the Liberal Party. Also running for a senatorial post is Senator Sherwin Gatchalian, a re-electionist. He is eyeing for his second term. He's running under the Nationalist People's Coalition. Senator Leila De Lima, who is detained, who's incarcerated, filed her COC for senator under the Liberal Party through an authorized representative. Also wanting to come back to the Senate is former Senator Antonio Trillanes IV. He is a guest candidate of the Liberal Party. Asked why he did not decide to pursue his vice presidential bid, he said that he only announced his intent to run for president if Vice President Leni Robredo did not push through with her presidential candidacy. That is why he is saying he is now gunning for a senatorial post, because the vice president is already eyeing, he's already one of the candidates for the presidential race in 2022. Now, former Agriculture Secretary Manny Piñol is running under NPC. He is, of course, a former Agriculture Secretary of the Duterte administration, but now he is running under the ticket of the Lacson and Soto tandem. Asked why, he said it's because he actually has had a falling out with the economic managers of the president. He said that he cannot possibly run with a team that is pro-rice tariffication. That is why his values are aligned and his principles are aligned with the Lacson and Soto tandem, and that is why he is running with them and not with the party of the president. Also, filing his COC is a former vice president and broadcaster Kabayan Noli De Castro. One reporter asked him if he considers himself a part of the opposition now or whether he is pro-administration. De Castro said he is neither, that he is pro-people. If there are programs and projects of the administration that he agrees with, then he will support these projects. And if the opposition also has programs that align with his own vision, then he said that he can just work either way and work with both the opposition and the administration. Also, one of the filers for senator is a detained vlogger, Francis Leo Marcos. He filed through a representative. For party list, KC, we saw superstar Nora Honor. She is the first nominee of the National Organization for Responsive Advocacies for the Arts, or NORA party list. Also, the third nominee for Tingog party list is another artist, that is Carla Estrada. Casey, there are several candidates filing for president running for the presidency but are independent and they consider themselves ordinary individuals were saying that they are tired of traditional politicians and urging the public to vote for new faces and new names come May 9, 2022. Filing will close at 5 p.m., not only here at the COMELEC Filing Center in Pasay City, but also in local COMELEC offices nationwide. But if there are still people in queues by 4:45 p.m. and people within 30 meters of those queues by 5 p.m., COMELEC spokesman James Jimenez said the commission will still accept their COCs provided that the COCs are complete as well as the supporting documents. So the filing may still extend, but there will be a list that will be finalized by 5 p.m. and then the COMELEC will just call the individuals and the party list on those lists for their turn to file their COCs. That is the latest from the COMELEC Filing Center here in Pasay City. Casey, back to you.
Ina, tell me something. We know what's happening outside. Our colleague Bianca Dava did tell us about the supporters of Davao City Mayor Sara Duterte Carpio outside, still hoping and urging her to run, make a go for the presidency. But what are you hearing inside? Is there anything that points to the possibility that she will go there and file her candidacy for president? Ina.
As far as our location is concerned, Casey, inside the filing center, there is no indication whatsoever that Davao City Mayor and presidential daughter Sara Duterte Carpio will be coming over to file a certificate of candidacy. Nothing, no changes in the security arrangements here, nothing from the officials, even from media. It's really basically the supporters that are still hoping that she will run. And I also heard that Secretary Harry Roque, the spokesman of the president, is also still hoping for her to file her COC so he also can file his COC for senator. But so far, from our vantage point, everything is quiet as far as that matter is concerned, Casey.
All right. Thanks a lot. Ina Reformina there joining us live. Thanks, Ina. Take care and you keep safe. How is the 2022 race to Malacañang shaping up? Let's get the thoughts of veteran journalist Virgel Santos. He is, of course, a trustee of the Center for Media Freedom and Responsibility. Virgel, nice to see you again. Welcome to the
program. Hi, Carmina. Good to be with you.
All right. So Vice President Leni Robredo declaring that she will run for the presidency just this morning. Senator Francis Pangilinan as well filing his certificate of candidacy for VP. What are your thoughts on how this race is shaping up so far?
Oh, this seems to me a better delineated race than before. Once the Vice President, Leni Robredo, declared being in the running for the presidency, everything has become clearer. I mean, that set apart the genuine opposition from the dubious ones. That to me seems the clear effect of the declaration of the Vice President.
And what and how does that? You said it's now clearer. There's now delineation.
Yes.
How does that affect now all the others who have said that they are part of the opposition or claim either that claim to be part of the opposition or not at all if they're part of the administration or the opposition?
So far, their claim is limited to being opposed to the Duterte regime, except Mr. Duterte. That seems to me the claim of all the others. I mean, I haven't seen any one of them declaring themselves, you know, prepared to make Mr. Duterte accountable for all the wrongdoing of his regime during his term. Hmm. I mean, that seems to me a very simple thing.
Yeah, but why is that important? And how can that not lead to rear-view politics?
Oh, you know, still, up to this moment, they seem to be to be, in a way, hedging their bets, you know? How far am I going to stay in this cloudy position, you know? And sooner or later, I think they will be able, or that they will be shown to be for someone, for one or the other. I mean, be shown, not necessarily admitting that, but be shown to be so, because the media do have a very critical role in this election. They will be explaining more than reporting, you know, because there will be a great deal of effort to conceal, to dissemble, to lie in this election, given the nature of the times.
So. Yeah. And that's going to be a major change in this season, because as well of all the other channels, and I mean this figuratively and literally, that have opened up for disinformation, for campaigning, basically, because we're in the time of this pandemic.
They will. That there will be disinformation necessarily, because disinformation is being politically weaponized. But that's why I am saying that the media will have to be on the to be very alert in this particular context. There will be disinformation, but you know what shows up disinformation? Truth and explanation of the truth. You know, any piece of disinformation that is so little trick that will work for this information in a way, you know. While on the other hand, you have the truth and you are able to make the truth stick and you are able to explain it, I mean, that seemed to me a plain enough strategy.
And in your recently written piece, Duterte is the issue, it is very clear there, Rahel, that this truth that you speak of has a lot to do with Duterte. Why should this be the narrative that should shape this election season?
I didn't get that, Camina. You're breaking.
Sorry, I'm going to repeat it. In your piece, a while ago, we were talking about the truth, right?
Yes.
And in your piece, Duterte is the issue, you make it very clear that the truth has a lot to do
with
President Duterte. Clear that the truth has a lot to do Can you hear me now?
The truth has a lot to do with everything. I mean, the mere declaration of Ms. Robredo began to uncover a lot of truth, and the first truth that has been uncovered is who is the opposition and who is not. I mean, that's how it works. That's how it works, and all you need to do is look at the character and the track record of all these people who are making their own claims on the truth, and you will find out who they really are. I mean, I don't know. It's all a matter of, I suppose, getting these things across, getting the facts, the truth across. And, of course, I am not saying that is easy enough to do, given the efficiency of trolling in these times. But still, you know, trolling, there is so little that trolling can do. Most of that is simply repeat lies, you know.
I'm talking about getting the message across, Verhel. What do you think about the running mate that Vice President Lenny Robredo has chosen in the person of Senator Francis Kiko Pangilinan? Is this something that does not go beyond the echo chamber that Vice President Lenny Robredo had spoken of in the past, that she wanted to go beyond that?
Well, I think Kiko is just one of those people. I think we don't have to look at, we don't have to be fixated on Kiko. I mean, we have to be fixated on the whole team. Who are the people on this team? Trillanes is there. All the Liberal Party candidates were there. The non-liberals were there. Neri is there. Chell is there. I mean, I think you should look at the whole team and not be fixated on Kiko alone. Hmm. Yeah.
Is it clearer now what this united opposition actually looks like? Or will actually look like? Because in the beginning, Verhel, when you talk about united opposition, people were talking about contenders sliding down, forming yes, this yes. presidential and vice presidential bed across the fences. But now she's showing it need not be that way.
No. You know, I was saying that in the beginning, Ms. Robredo was suspected as being rather naive for reaching out to the other side. I think that was strategic, you know? You know what? To me, what Ms. Robredo did was give these people a chance to come around to the righteous cause. And but of course, they failed the test. That is not to say that the test has ended. I mean, the campaign is going on. You'll never know. Some of them might just see the light and realize that I will have to make a clearer stand than I am taking now. And either I go along with one cause or the other. You know, this is going to happen sooner or later, I suppose.
Mm. Now, I want to talk about MIDA and how it's going to see itself evolve because of the season. How do you think? You said a while ago that MIDA is going to be doing a lot of explaining.
Yes.
What else do you think? What are the challenges that is waiting for MIDA because of this campaign season?
There are a number of things that MIDA should be watchful of. One, of course, is they must be able to reinforce their own abilities to look at things in perspective and be able to explain goings on. Another thing is they should be on the alert for things that are desperate. You know, that a desperate regime like Duterte's might resort to all sorts of tricks, which do not exclude cheating. I mean, these things can happen. I mean, therefore, the media will have to look at those things, and the media by now should themselves realize what the stakes are, you know? The stake is, to me, it's national existence, you know? And the threat to this is precisely the ruling regime. I don't know whether the media realized that, but the media's excuse is always that we are objective, we are neutral. There's nothing to do with objectivity or being neutral. I mean, journalism is not about that. Journalism is about the truth and fairness. I mean, truth and fairness, not objectivity. You know, we are not looking at scientific experiments here. You know, we are looking at people who are doing bad and good things, and doing them in a way easy enough to detect. I mean, are you saying, for instance, that we'd still have China, we'd still have this terrible response to the pandemic, that we still would have authoritarianism and repression and tyranny and terrorism and extrajudicial killings? We'd still have this if we didn't have Duterte? Tell me.
Going back to the issue of President Duterte, again, we go back to the piece that you recently wrote. You said Duterte is the issue.
Is the issue.
How do you then, if that's going to be the issue, if that is the issue, where does that place Senators Pacquiao, Lacson, former Senator Bongbong Marcos? Of course, we got to talk about Manila Mayor Isko Moreno as well. If Duterte is the issue, where does that place them?
No, they're in limbo. I mean, they are nowhere. I mean, these people are nowhere. These are the very people who have a great deal to explain for having supported one way or the other this Duterte regime. This is the first thing that they will have to explain. You know, and the only thing, I think the decisive way to come clean in all this is to declare that if they become president, they will hold Duterte accountable for all his wrongdoing. And none of them has said that.
It is very clear to you, Verhel, that Duterte is the issue. But a while ago,
yes,
talking about, you know, getting this message across. How do you then get this message across to the voting public when the president still enjoys
I think it's easier to get that message across now. You know why? Because of the pandemic. People have shorter lives. People have riskier lives. People have are losing their jobs. You know? This nation is said to have contracted the biggest loan battling the pandemic, and we are rated to be the last to recover from all this. Now that should be easy enough to explain to people. Don't they? I go out and I see a person and I ask him, what are the times like today?
Mm-hmm.
Do you and some of them will tell you they don't even know where they're going to get their next meal. They don't even know whether going home they might deliver the virus to their own families. No, these are very basic risks.
But they do know that it's because of the pandemic.
Yeah.
They don't necessarily blame it on the Duterte administration right away, Verhel.
No. Simple. If you say that notwithstanding the huge loans that this regime has taken out to support its response to the pandemic, why is this thing happening to them? Why is this nation rated as the worst? As being in the worst situation. Mm. It's not just a pandemic, of course, because there are things will be easily recognizable. Problems will be more easily recognizable to certain sectors. You tell them about China, you go to the fishermen of Zambales, they will know about China. You want to know about tyranny and repression? You go to Laila de Lima. And you go to all those families who lost who lost members to the drug war. You know? And and repression? You ask the media. You ask Maria Ressa. I mean, these are also easy to argue with. The concrete cases. And all you need to do is to bring them across. Bring them across.
All right. We're going to have to go for now. I'm sure we're going to talk again in the coming days. Verhel Santos.
Oh, yeah. I hope so.
Trustee, of course, of the Center for Media Freedom and Responsibility. Lovely to talk, Verhel. Nice
thanks,
to see
thanks.
You again.
Keep thanks safe. For the time, Carmina. You too. Bye.
Thanks. the Philippines looking to administer booster shots for health workers by November or December. Vaccine Chief Carlito Galvez Jr. says authorities are pushing to roll out third doses this year to avoid the risk of vaccine efficacy waning for frontliners.
We reached it to the all expert group. We told them that we need to hurry up their decisions, considering there are more than 10 countries already administering boosters, including Indonesia. The only problem right now is that our inoculation is 30% pa lang will have the boosters. Once we have the threshold, at least 50%.
The Philippine government shortens facility-based quarantine for travelers coming from countries considered low to moderate risk for COVID-19. Interagency Task Force spokesperson Harry Roque says facility-based quarantine for fully vaccinated travelers will last until the release of their negative test result taken on the fifth day. They will be required to undergo home quarantine until their 10th day. Unvaccinated and partially vaccinated individuals will be required to undergo facility-based quarantine until the release of their negative test result on the 7th day. They will quarantine at home until the 14th day. Meanwhile, the IATF will require fully vaccinated foreigners to secure their own pre-booked accommodation of at least 6 days and at least 8 days for the unvaccinated or partially vaccinated.
Ito naman po ang dokumentong tinatanggap para ma-verify ang vaccination status. Una, certification from the Philippine Overseas Labor Office mula sa country of origin sa mga OFW, kanilang asawa, mga magulang at mga anak na kasama nila sa biyahe. Pangalawa, VaxCert PH Digital Vaccination Certificate o BOQ Issued International Certificate of Vaccination or Prophylaxis para sa mga Filipino o dayuhang fully vaccinated sa Pilipinas. At panghuli, National Digital Certificate galing sa foreign government na tumanggap ng VaxCert PH sa ilalim ng Reciprocal Arrangements or BOQ Issued ICV para sa mga non-OFWs at dayuhan fully vaccinated abroad.
The UK will remove the Philippines from its so-called travel red list starting October 11th. This means fully vaccinated Filipinos can now travel to Britain without taking COVID-19 tests before their flights or completing a 10-day quarantine upon arrival. Travelers must be fully vaccinated at least 14 days before arrival in the UK. They must also present a proof of vaccination. Approved vaccines include AstraZeneca, Pfizer, Moderna, and Janssen. Only Panama, Colombia, Venezuela, Peru, Ecuador, Haiti, and the Dominican Republic will remain on the UK's red list after October 11th. U.S. President Joe Biden defends his COVID vaccine mandate on federal workers and large businesses. The order, which covers 100 million U.S. workers, has been getting pushback from high-profile Republicans since last month. But Biden insists vaccination is key to economic growth. In his trip to Chicago on Thursday, he urged more private companies to get their employees inoculated.
When I first started the vaccination program, and we got all that vaccine enough for everyone. We're vaccinating 3 million people a day. We're getting very close before things began to slow down. The economy is growing, leaps and bounds. 6%, the fastest growing major economy in the world. In fact, increased vaccination coverage results in as many as 5 million American workers going back to work because they feel safe they can go back to work. There'll be more economic demand to drive people back to the workforce.
Finland joined Sweden and Denmark in limiting the use of Moderna's COVID vaccine on the younger population over side effects. This report.
Finland paused the use of Moderna's COVID vaccine for younger males on Thursday. It comes after reports of a rare cardiovascular side effect, myocarditis. Finnish officials said they would instead give Pfizer's vaccine to men born in 1991 and later. The country currently offers shots to people aged 12 and over. Both Sweden and Denmark limited the use of Moderna on Wednesday for all young adults and children. They cited the same unpublished Nordic study as Finland. Sweden's lead epidemiologist, Anders Tegnell.
It is, as I said, a very rare side effect we're talking about. Even if one has received the Moderna vaccine, almost all the cases appear after a few weeks following vaccination, and after 1 month, one doesn't see this problem at all.
Another Scandinavian country, Norway, recommended this week that men under the age of 30 choose the Pfizer vaccine. The Finnish Health Institute said the report would be published within a couple of weeks, and that the data had been sent to the European Medicines Agency for further assessment. The EMA found in July that such inflammatory heart conditions could occur in very rare cases following vaccination with Spikevax or the Pfizer jab in younger men after the second dose. A Moderna spokesperson said late Wednesday it was aware of the decision made by Sweden and Denmark. The drug maker said the cases were typically mild and individuals usually recovered within a short time frame following standard treatment and rest, adding that the risk of myocarditis is substantially increased for those who get COVID, with vaccination the best way to protect against this.
In other news, the International Criminal Court prosecutor vows to uncover the truth and ensure accountability as it probes alleged crimes of humanity committed in President Duterte's drug war. Karim Khan says he will focus on ensuring a successful, independent, and impartial investigation with the aim of bringing justice to victims and affected communities. He also reiterated the ICC has jurisdiction despite the Philippines' withdrawal from the Rome Statute, as well as its refusal to cooperate with the investigation. Aside from the drug war killing, the ICC will also look into vigilante killings in Davao City when Duterte served as mayor and vice mayor. Meanwhile, the United Nations Human Rights Office urges the Philippine government to publish the findings of its drug war review panel. UN High Commissioner for Human Rights Michelle Bachelet says the Philippine Justice Department's review must be publicized so it can be evaluated. Justice Secretary Minardo Guevara recently said the review showed 154 police officers facing possible criminal liability due to the bloody war on drugs. Bachelet also urging the Philippine government to involve the Commission on Human Rights and other relevant agencies in its drug war review. The DOJ has said that CHR will be involved in the next phase of its report. Heavy rainfall is in the forecast over southern Luzon and eastern Visayas as Tropical Depression Maring slightly intensifies. Let's get the data now from Pag-asa weather forecaster Raymond Ordinario. Raymond, over to you.
Yes, Ms. Carmina, good afternoon. And this is our update regarding Tropical Depression Maring. As of 10 a.m. today, it was estimated around 495 kilometers east of Cataman, northern Samar, or around 400 kilometers east of Borongan City, eastern Samar. It slightly intensified and now having a maximum sustained winds of 55 kilometers per near the center and a gustiness that may reach up to 70 kilometers per hour. In the past 6 hours, it moves southwest at the speed of 15 kilometers per hour. Tomorrow morning, it is estimated around 985 kilometers east of Infanta, Quezon. And on Sunday morning, it is expected around 670 kilometers east of Tuguegarao City in Cagayan. Currently, this tropical depression Maring brings cloudy skies with scattered rain showers and thunderstorms over the Bicol region, the eastern and central Visayas, and together with Caraga and Cebu. While the rest of the country, including Metro Manila, we're going to have a generally fair weather condition. The next update of tropical depression Maring will be issued at 5 p.m. today. And that's the latest from the Pag-asa Weather Forecasting Center, Raymond Ordinario reporting.
Thanks a lot, Raymond. To you and the rest of the team there, thanks for all that you do. Take care and you keep safe. Moving on, world news now. Senior French and Australian dignitaries make high-profile visits to Taiwan amid a dramatic spike in tensions with China. Details in this report.
Taiwan's President Tsai Ing-wen told senior French and Australian dignitaries on Thursday that the island seeks to work with other like-minded democracies and will ensure regional peace. The trips by four French senators and former Australian Prime Minister Tony Abbott come after four straight days of mass Chinese Air Force incursions into Taiwan's air defense zone. The French senators met with Tsai at the presidential palace, despite strong objections from China, which is always angered by visits of foreign officials. Tsai said Taiwan was very moved that the French senators decided to come, despite what she described as pressure, a reference to China.
I want to take this opportunity to thank France for paying attention to the importance of the Taiwan Straits in the international arena and supporting Taiwan's international participation.
Tsai gave a similar message in later remarks to Abbott, who told her he was in Taiwan to help end its international isolation, praising its democracy and handling of the global health crisis.
Not everyone and not everywhere is pleased at Taiwan's progress. And I do note that Taiwan is challenged on an almost daily basis by its giant neighbour.
Tsai did not directly mention the recent Chinese Air Force activities in public comments at her meetings with the senators or with Abbott. Neither France nor Australia have formal diplomatic ties with Taiwan, like most countries. But the island has sought support from them both, as well as the US and its other allies. China claims Taiwan as its own territory and has been exerting growing military and political pressure towards Taipei.
U.S. Senate Democrats released a new report detailing former President Donald Trump's all-out bid to overturn his 2022 election defeat. More in this report.
Former President Donald Trump would have shredded the Constitution to keep his office in the presidency.
A new report released Thursday laid out the lengths to which Democrats say Donald Trump pressured the Justice Department to overturn the presidential election result, including by trying to oust its top official.
We were a half step away from a full-blown constitutional crisis.
The review by the Senate Judiciary Committee, chaired by Democrat Dick Durbin, details how Trump was growing angry that Acting Attorney General Jeffrey Rosen would not launch a public investigation into the false claim that Trump's defeat to now President Joe Biden was the result of widespread fraud. Rosen himself had taken the reins from William Barr, who resigned as attorney general in the weeks after the election, after publicly undercutting Trump by saying that the DOJ found no sign of systemic voter fraud. According to the Senate review, Trump ultimately tried to remove Rosen by asking Jeffrey Bossert Clark, then a senior Justice Department official and Trump loyalist, to step into the AG role. Durbin on Thursday laid out why that didn't happen.
The White House counsel, Pat Cipollone, descended from the president's position and said it was a murder-suicide pact for him to engage in this. Secondly, at that point, the eight leading officials in the Department of Justice all signed a letter saying that they would resign en masse if there was a replacement of the acting attorney general by Mr. Clark.
That meeting, Durbin said, took place on January 3rd.
We know what followed. In a matter of 3 days, this former president, desperate in his situation, having failed in every court case, having failed to take over the Department of Justice, decided to take his cause to the streets. We saw it in the United States Capitol 3 days later on January 6th. The president turned loose a mob that was supposed to stop us from counting the electoral votes and electoral ballots.
Republicans on the committee issued their own report, which drew different conclusions. Ranking Member Chuck Grassley said Trump, quote, did what we'd expect a president to do on an issue of this importance. He listened to his senior advisors and followed their advice and recommendations.
And we have this just in. Former presidential spokesperson Ernesto Abella has filed his certificate for candidacy for president. It's a surprising move given the fact that Abella hasn't been in the public eye since he resigned from his post in 2017. And it's also raising a lot of eyebrows amid the possible presidential bid of presidential daughter Davao City Mayor Sara Duterte Carpio. Dozens of Duterte Carpio supporters are now near the Sofitel tent in Pasay, with just a few hours left before the deadline for the filing of COCs. World food prices rose for a second consecutive month in September, reaching a 10-year high. The UN agency's Food and Agriculture Agency says the increase was driven by gains in cereals and in vegetable oils. The food price index averaged 130 points last month from 128.5 in August. On a year-to-year basis, food prices were up 32.8% in September. The group also projected record global cereal production this year, but it said this would be outpaced by forecast consumption. That'll do it for today. Thank you for joining us, keeping us company the whole week this week. If you want to revisit today's episode, Dateline Philippines podcast is on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Play back this newscast too on ANC's YouTube channel and on ANC 24/7 on Facebook. I'm Carmina Constantino. Keep safe. Keep it here on the News Channel.